Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom. It's Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. It's 8 a.m. on the East Coast of the United States, and I'm broadcasting to you from North Central West Virginia. And this is Truth in God's Word Radio. To talk today about a time period that is, I believe, rapidly coming upon us. Bible says that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is but a day. We've said so many times that God is not restrained, or is he caught in time? He's God all by himself. He's eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. We spoke about that, I believe, yesterday. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending, the first and the last. And I personally believe God moves in dispensations. I believe we're in the dispensation right now of grace and mercy. We are in the church age, which I believe is coming to an end. The disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, "What shall be the signs of the end of the world," or interpreted the end of the age? This world as we know it will not end. Earth, world without end, the Bible declares. But there's going to be a cataclysmic change. And, there's much argument today and controversy on eschatology, which is end times. Took me 3 days to learn how to pronounce that word, but the end times. And the Bible says you'll know them. You know, you'll know what's going on. We have to transcend so much out of our what we see, because we really don't live in what we see. We are affected by what we don't see. That's why faith is so important. Hope is so important. We believe those things, we call those things that are not as though they were. I personally believe that nothing happens in the natural unless it happens in the supernatural first. So we are coming to the end of the age. The Bible declares, I believe, will be the rapture of the church. The 7-year tribulation. In the middle of the tribulation, the peace treaty with Israel will be broken. Then the Antichrist will show his true colors, and the world will plunge into great tribulation. The Bible declares it'll be hell on earth, after which the Word of God declares all the armies of the world will someday be gathered in a place called Armageddon. And there, by the Word, the sharp two-edged sword that proceeds out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, he shall defeat all the enemies of God in that valley. Many wars fought there, according to history, and the last great battle will take place in that area. In Megiddo, I believe, is the Hebrew term. So, we are coming to an end. Or should I say, we are coming to an end and then a great beginning, because nothing ends with God. As I said before, he's an eternal God. So today we're going to talk about the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Much controversy over this. Many people say it's but just a type. It's not really going to happen. It's just something symbolic. But the bottom line is, it's the Word of God, and John saw this. Jesus Christ told John to write down what he saw, and this is what John saw beginning in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. After Armageddon, the Word of God declares that there's going to be a change. Chapter 12 of Revelation, we see a war in heaven, and the devil and his angels cast down. The Bible declares he's full of wrath, which he's that now, but he's full of wrath because he knows he has but a short time to work. So spiritual warfare will be stepped up. I believe it's stepped up now, because I just believe we're in that time period. We are a generation that is living in the last days, or the last of the last days. Now, how long will all of this last? When will things come to a fullness, so to speak, whenever God calls it to be? See, there's things he doesn't share with man. Bible declares there's secret things of the Lord in Deuteronomy 29:29. There's secret things of the Lord that he lets us know in seasons of times, and the things we don't know, we put on the shelf and we leave it to him. And as time moves on, even Paul said that there's mysteries that shall be revealed. Jeremiah 33:33 says, "Call unto me, and I will show you things that you know not." God's revelations are never meant to heighten man to any supremeness. It's always to give glory unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, "If I be lifted up," he says, "I will draw all men unto me." So we're here on Truth and God's Word. We're going to try to go through the 20th chapter of Revelation. Probably take a few sessions. We have 30-minute sessions. So today we're going to try to get to the first three verses, and pray that God will give us revelation of his word. You know, we discern the word of God by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, will lead us and guide us into all truth and all righteousness. He would not have us to be ignorant, the word of God says. So we need the knowledge and we need the wisdom of God. So Revelation 21 says, "I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and of a great chain to his hand." Let me read 1 Corinthians 15:24 before we begin. Paul wrote, "Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when we shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power." So can we imagine a world that's dominated by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by his righteousness, by his goodness, when all injustice and all prejudice will be put down, everybody will be treated fairly, there'll be no classes, so to speak, there'll be no elitists, there'll not be a middle class, there'll not be a lower class, that all in the eyes of the Lord will be the same, there'll be equality like there's never been equality. A time and a period when there shall be peace on earth, because the Prince of Peace will have come down and dwelling with us. Well, the hospitals will be shut down. The jails will be shut down. The insane asylums will be shut down. There will be no need for funeral homes, per se, because maybe in the thousand-year reign, you know, the Bible declares that even those that don't live in their in immortality, they live in a mortal body, will live for a long time. It'll be a time when Satan and his forces will be removed from the earth for 1,000 literal years. A time when the lion will lay down beside the lamb. No longer will there be carnivores. The desire in animals to kill and eat other animals will be gone. So, you know, this is what's coming. And it's hard to believe when we get up every morning and see what's going on in this world, that is there any way that the chaos in this world is going to be changed? Yes, there's one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. The Bible declares he will rule from Jerusalem with a rod of iron. Now, a rod, of course, could be a staff. Now, shepherds carry a staff. We find when Moses was called to his calling, when he was told by God to go to Pharaoh, a type of Satan, and tell him to set his people free, that he said, "How am I going to do this?" He said, "What do you have in your hand?" "You have authority. You have the rod," which today is the Word of God. which was quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's still the authority. It's not recognized the authority by many. By many, it's lampooned, lambasted, made fun of. We that read the Bible are called Bible thumpers, water walkers. And that's keeping it clean. We're called all kinds of things. So, you know, and the Bible promises this, that, you know, the world is not going to go with Jesus Christ, because see, there's a spirit of rebellion in the world, because the father of this world, or the god of this world, which is Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, has him blinded, and he is a rebel. He rebelled against God eons ago and paid the price. He's already sealed his destiny. There's no repentance for the enemy. There's no repentance for the powers of darkness. They have already sealed where they're going to be. So they have a vendetta by which they are trying to drag me and you with them into the abyss, into eternal destruction. But Jesus Christ came that we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. We'll try to get into this today, but a little prelude here. You know, we need to know who we are in Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except it be through him. So we are coming into an age where there'll be a glorious ruler ruling over, and the Bible declares he will rule with a rod of iron. You know, you don't break iron. He's going to put down every power and every principality, every voice that raises up against him, he will put down. He's going to be there ruling with a theocracy. He will rule completely. But take heart, because he is just, and he is kind, and he is merciful, and he is truth. And to those that yield themselves unto him, we're going to be fine. But those that rebel against him, not so good for them. It won't go well, according to the word of God. So we have this, you know, Paul, these many things that are coming to pass. Paul said these are our blessed hope. It's letting us know that we live in a time when things around us and even ourselves are temporal. We're not at our final destination yet. You know, we've got some roads to walk and some miles to put on our shoes, so to speak. But we haven't arrived. Paul said, "I haven't ascertained, or I haven't received yet." But yet he said, leaving those things that are behind, he said, "I count it all but lost, because I'm going to press towards the high mark of the high calling." So there's nothing more important in your life than your salvation. The word of God says, what would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you exchange for your eternal soul? If you've been on this people planet any number of years, you know, we get older. We're, because of the fall, see, our bodies age. But the Bible says this outside man dies daily, but the inside is going from glory to glory to glory. Our inner man, the part that will spend eternity somewhere. So we're going to try to get into this today. If we don't, we'll get into our next session on Truth and God's Word. But I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. Having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, you know, I think it's when Jesus cursed the fig tree and the disciples didn't know what was going on. And after he told them, he said, if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, whatever mountain you speak to shall be removed. He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. So keys are very important. So what he said, keys are authority. Keys unlock. Keys gives us access. So the gifts of God give us access. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we see an angel here having the key to the bottomless pit. symbolic? No. It's a bottomless pit. I see nothing symbolic about that. In Revelation 9:1, alludes all to the same thing. And the fifth angel sounded, saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, you know, I've heard people say, well, this is Satan gets the key, and I don't know that God would give him the keys to anything. But maybe he unlocked his own doom. I don't know so much about that. But the bottom line is that God is in control. God holds the keys. And the Word of God says that he laid hold. Now, I want you to notice here the description that the writer, the Holy Ghost, as John pens this particular book, how he describes our adversary, the enemy, our nemesis. The Bible declares in the beginning he was Lucifer, which means light bearer. He was the cherub that covered. He was a glorious angel. Many say he was an archangel one. He was given great authority and great power, but he rebelled against God and became Satan. But let's go on here. And he laid hold on the dragon. Now, the dragon shows you power. This large, many say mythological, I'm not so sure about that, but mythological animal called the dragon, fire-breathing, strong, great claw, mammoth, big, can, with a swipe of his claw, can destroy and kill. Well, that's what Satan is. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. That's what Jesus said. He comes to kill, destroy. But he said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundant. And he laid hold on the dragon, denoting his power. The old serpent denoting his deceitfulness. What did Jesus say? Take heed that no man deceive you. Now, men that are deceived and being deceived are under the operation of the devil. They are under his reign, so to speak, under his control. He nudges them. He gives them information. He speaks to them. I was a child of the 60s, and as I grew up, you know, of course, I listened to rock and music and the old-time Hendrix and all those guys and Morrison, and you know, I didn't know, but back, you know, come out later, you know, that these men had been under the influence of satanic spirits. I mean, this is what it's recorded, it's written, you know. I'm not going to say they were, they weren't, but I'm saying the music that they played affected a generation. The psychedelic age, the age of the 60s when America went into rebellion and become under the influence. Huh. The influence of what? Well, the drug culture. The no whole bar sexual revolution, which led, listen, the Bible still says the wages of sin is death. God's not mocked at whatsoever a man sows, so shall he also reap. Deception. America, at that age, at the post-World War II America, was very prosperous. Back in those days, it was people were getting not one car, but two cars. We had the picture of the white picket fence and mom in the kitchen with an apron on frying chicken or baking cakes. And we had this ideal persona of a perfection, you know, that prosperity had arrived in America, but underneath and behind the scenes, there was a spirit of rebellion. Who do you think headed up that spirit? My generation had more than probably a lot of generations before us. But yet we become spoiled and disillusioned and we rebelled. And rebellion is as a spirit of witchcraft. So who heads up rebellion? Who's the spearhead for rebellion? Well, the rebellious one, which is Lucifer, Satan. So he calls him the serpent. Then he says, he calls him, which is the devil. Already he's given him two names, dragon, serpent, the devil. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, the one that accuses you, the one that tries to heap condemnation on you when you've given your life unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He comes to accuse you. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Christ did not come to condemn us. His Spirit will certainly convict us, but he did not come to condemn us. So which is the devil? And Satan, which is the adversary. And the Bible declares that this angel will bind him for 1,000 years. This is what brings about the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. I said, can you imagine a world without the influence of the powers of darkness? See, we look at TV screen and we think, boy, man's in trouble. Wonder why people do this. Wonder why people do that. Because the God of this world is at work, called out for who he is. He hates us. He hates anything or anybody that names the name of Jesus. Because Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago on a cross. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is the warfare in heaven we're talking about. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Why was Jesus manifested? Well, for what purpose, the Word of God says, was Jesus manifested? That he might destroy the works of the devil, who from the beginning sinned. God's going to put down all rebellion. And even on the inside of us sometimes, we can feel rebellion rise up in our lives. That's not from God. That's why he says, yield your members. That's why he says, humble yourself before God, and in due time you shall be exalted. God can't work with pride. He never can. He never could. Never. He won't work with us. He just puts it down. Because the Word of God says it comes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. The verse 3 says, and cast him into the bottomless pit or the abyss, and shut him up and set seal on him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, after that he must be loosed for a season. From verses 2 to 7 in Revelation 20, 1,000 years are mentioned 6 times. For a season. So, a change. A change is coming in the supernatural, whereby Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years, and we're not going to be able to get into today what's going to happen after that. But let me give you some scripture. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, if he did this to angels that sinned, how much more will he punish those that rebel against him now, do not receive Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. Jude 1:6 says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. See, it shows us right there that God is in charge and he is in control. He's got this. The Bible says if we trust him, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. That our footsteps are ordered of the Lord. He's going to keep us. He's not going to let us fall. He's not going to let us be put to shame. He's not going to let us be destroyed if we believe. And the Bible says Abraham believed God and he counted him as righteous. Abraham stepped out not knowing where he was going and trusted the Lord. So we're down to about 5 minutes now. And I just, like I said, next time on Truth in God's Word, which will probably be next Monday, tomorrow will be over on Christian Survival Radio with Truth in the Word. So in Truth and God's Word, we'll be back next Monday. And we'll go on further into Revelation chapter 20. Not knowing it all, but doing our best here to let the Spirit of God. See, the Word was sent to heal us, to give us hope. And this is what we want to do is that people might have hope in a very dark world in which we live, a very chaotic world. We live in uncertain times. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. And that anchor holds and grips that solid rock. And that anchor is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him today, call on His name. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Believe today that He wore stripes on His back that you might be healed. And He was chastised for our peace of mind. He provided it all. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So pray this prayer today. Invite Jesus Christ into your life. If the devil's trying to pull you back in any kind of a lifestyle, call on the name of the Lord. He'll deliver you today. Paul even said, he said, the things I want to do, I don't do. He said, I'm in a quandary. I'm in a battle. He says, but I've got to trust the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because His grace is sufficient to take me through, and He'll take me and you through today too. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank You for Your word today, Lord, as we tried our best to deliver it. We ask it won't come back, but we'll be able to do that. What You sent it to do, Lord, this is Your word, and You sent it, and You healed us, Lord. And I just ask You today, Father, that stir the hearts and the minds of the people. Stir our hearts, all of our hearts and our minds today, Lord, that we might receive that which You have for us, Father, that we will not get weary in this walk. Father, You said in Your word, if a man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not worthy for the kingdom. Help us today, Lord, to persevere, Lord, to have some endurance, some intestinal fortitude about us, Lord, that we're going to hang on to You and believe You in spite of all things that we see, because we call those things that are not as though they were. And we know the future because You've laid it out in Your word, and we trust in Your word. Let every man be a liar, but let God be the truth. Amen. We'll be on tomorrow on Christian Survival Radio with Truth in the Word. So until then, God bless each and every one of you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthinthword777@gmail.com. Word of God declares, look up. For your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you. And the meek shall inherit.